Hello there! Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, I'm going to share my recent experience celebrating the music of Star Wars with the National Symphony Orchestra. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it is time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast, and I'm thrilled to actually get back into a little bit of some Star Wars discussion here. As you know, on the pod over the last couple of weeks here, at least the last four, we've been doing our Indiana Jones deep dives into the various movies, etc. So, of course, if you haven't checked those out, be sure to go look into the back catalog of episodes, and that includes Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, and most recently, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So I hope you've been enjoying those. Certainly July will be an indie-heavy month, as well as Dial of Destiny comes out next week. So, of course, next week's episode will be a little bit of a review, or a discussion, I should say. I'm not really a reviewer, per se, but it will be a discussion, on at least a little cursory discussion on the Dial of Destiny, as well as subsequent episodes will probably cover that as well in more detail as we see the film more and more. I'm planning to see it about three times, so I don't know about you all, but that's kind of my game plan at this point in time. But in the meantime, I'm thrilled to share about my recent experience. So last night I went to a concert, and we'll get to this a bit more into the main episode itself, so I don't want to spoil too much, but I did go to a concert last night, and this is kind of my thoughts from that experience. So here we go. Before we get into all of that, the main chunk of the show, if you will, let's do some news that took place in the Star Wars galaxy this week. And of course, when I mean Star Wars galaxy, I also mean the Lucasfilm of it all as well. So that can include Willow, Indiana Jones, anything, frankly, that I want to. It's my podcast. I'm going to do what I want, right? So first, we're less than a week away from the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Yes, June 30th is fast approaching next Friday, at least from the time of the release of this episode. So make sure that you see it opening weekend again so you do not miss out on our spoiler conversations that will ensue afterwards. Furthermore, for a limited time, guests heading over to Disneyland will have the opportunity to do meet and greets with Indiana Jones. Now, of course, I believe that will be at the Indiana Jones and the Forbidden Temple of the Eye, if I recall exactly what the ride is called. That will certainly be a fun experience for those who are able. I'm jealous. I wish I could do that. Have fun and enjoy. Also, a year after the release of the hit Obi-Wan Kenobi series on Disney+, Lucasfilm has announced that Marvel will be doing a six-part comic miniseries covering the show. So this comic book set will be written by Jody Houser with pencils from Salvador LaRocca, both heavy hitters in the Star Wars galaxy for sure in the comics realm. And every installment will tell you the story of an episode from the TV series. Now, I'm not able to find a release date yet for this content, but you can rest assured that I will provide more information and details on the podcast as they become available. And with that, folks, that's all the news that I had for this week in the Star Wars and Lucasfilm galaxy. On the other side of the short break, we'll be back with my thoughts on this recent concert experience that I was able to go to. So stay tuned. Alrighty, everybody, let's get into the main topic, the meat of this episode, which, again, is my experience seeing this concert performance with the National Symphony Orchestra. Of course, this show was called The Music of Star Wars, and it took place at the famous Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is where I'm currently based. And it was a great, great time. I can't say enough wonderful things. So you're going to hear just an explosion of good feelings and tidings that comes with seeing this group play. I just had a great time overall. So that's my initial review and thoughts of this endeavor. Let's set the stage here. What happened? What did I go into this with? What did I, et cetera. So I saw this popped up on the website for the Kennedy Center, right? I follow this. I've been to a couple shows at the Kennedy Center before. I'm on their mailing list and all that stuff. And they said, hey, music of Star Wars. And I'm like, all right, I like Star Wars. It's cool. They've got, they're going to celebrate kind of the music of John Williams. And what I really saw on here was that, right, the main program itself, so, right, they said it's going to be a journey through a galaxy far, far away with a selection of music from the films composed by John Williams and also Rogue One, composed by Michael Giacchino, which I thought, wow, that's gonna be excellent. I've been waiting to hear like Rogue One stuff with an actual orchestra. I think Rogue One soundtrack is so heavily underrated. So you tell me all that, right? I'm like, okay, we're probably gonna play a good amount from episodes 4, 5, and 6, the original trilogy, probably a little bit from the sequel trilogy, and perhaps a little bit from the prequel trilogy as well, with some Rogue One sprinkled in there. I did no idea what else would happen later in this concert, which we'll talk about later. But that was my thoughts going into it. I'm like, wow, that's going to be really cool. It's going to be a great experience. Again, the Kennedy Center is world-class in terms of its presentation of musical sound production. And the concert hall is just exquisite for all of that. And the NSO is just, again, top tier when it comes to symphony orchestras. So I went with my brother-in-law, Joe Brown, who's been on the podcast before, talking about his own Star Wars experiences and how he's been doing that with his family over the last couple of years, which was just a delight. I mean, and this was his also first time for many things, right? First time kind of being in Washington, D.C., first time going to the orchestra itself, like a whole symphony event. First time at the Kennedy Center, first time with the NSO, and the first time really hearing Star Wars music isolated itself in this kind of format versus listening to either like on a soundtrack or with the, obviously, as you would watch with the movie. So this was a great experience for the both of us. We did this together. We're both on the floor seated. Check out our social media channels to see like exactly what the seats looked like. But again, you can get kind of paint the picture in your mind here. So I had seen the episodes 4, 5, 6, and 7 with an orchestra, right? Where they play the movie. They don't have the music audio track playing. And the orchestra plays alongside the movie. And those are just fantastic experiences. If you're able to, I couldn't recommend it enough to do that in your lifetime. I think that is just such a wonderful and cool way to experience a movie that you have probably seen 100 times. And it forces you to look at things again in a different light with different context. And it may make you feel like you're watching it again for the first time. I definitely had some aspects of that. It's so, so cool and incredible. And again, that's not necessarily Star Wars related here. They do these for a whole ton of different movies that are, you know, popular in our lexicon with these great scores underneath them. Star Wars being a primarily one that people want to go see, of course, but they got instances of Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Superman 78, Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T. Of course, you're just naming John Williams stuff here. I know they do like Casino Royale, Skyfall, those types of great action films and just wonderful movies that exist in our modern film canon, if you will. So, of course, I had all the trust in the world in the National Symphony Orchestra, having seen them do this before, and also just wanted to, like, I didn't know if they would just like play scenes from the movies and then play along to them in that kind of format, but no, This was purely just, we've got the orchestra on stage, the conductor conducting his butt off, which I'm going to get to that in a second here, and playing these classic tracks. Now, the conductor was Stephen Reinecke, who is just absolutely the best. I'm not going to lie here. This is the cream of the crop when it comes to a person that A, knows their Star Wars stuff, B, is able to engage the audience in a fun and interactive manner, and C, is just a total rock star when it comes to being a conductor, right? I think we all can think of if you've been in an orchestra or you've been in marching band or any type of concert band or something like that, generally, you can get a stiff person up on stage there. They're not the most engaged. They're very much stuck in this box, if you will, where they're not moving outside of it. Their motions for cueing certain musical parts of a song, they're just highlighting, hinting, pointing, etc. Whereas this guy, like, I can feel the music flowing through him. It's flowing through his body. If you're able to look up this guy on YouTube, perhaps, maybe you're able to find some videos of this concert or something like that. But certainly in many of these tracks, I just felt the music flowing through him. That's really the best way I can describe it. He's got this strut on stage. He's got this shimmy in his hips as he's playing, or as he's not playing, but he's shepherding these songs through the promised land, if you will. And as a fan, I want to see somebody up there with the same care, consideration, but also having fun with Star Wars. At the end of the day, Star Wars is fun to me. So I want someone there that's just as equally having fun and enjoying this, but also has this sense of like, yes, I'm going to take this seriously at the end of the day too. You got to have a mix of all that in order to make Star Wars the most effective product it can be, if you ask me. But hey, that's how it goes. So anyways, we start out this concert and you know, I talked with my brother-in-law Joe about this to length leading up to it. We were like, well, what do you think they're gonna play? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, probably the Imperial March, you know, your big hits and all that stuff. But frankly, it's for like, what are they not gonna play, but what are they gonna play that I'm not expecting? What are some of like the deep cuts from John Williams canon from the films? And I was like, please play Across the Stars, please play Across the Stars, please play Across the Stars, play some prequel stuff, right? I was certainly hoping for the most prequel stuff, just because those films are so impactful to me. I did have a concern, though, about some of those prequel songs because I didn't know if they'd have a chorus. So full disclosure here, there was no chorus when it comes to these movies. Or not the movies, but the orchestra performance. Just purely the strings, the woodwinds, the brass, percussion. That's it. So yeah, that was, you know, we were like, you know, they'll probably start with the main titles of episode 4 and all that, and then go through some of these big hits, and then probably conclude with like the Imperial March and like kind of what you would think from a rock concert, if you will, right? The band's going to start with a little bit of a known hit or like an intro track from an album, makes sense, and then they'll conclude with their big topic, big hits, guys that, you know, big radio play, fans, stuff that fans came out to see, basically, right? No, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not what happened in this concert. And I think it was for the better. I loved what they did instead. So here's what they did. Conductor comes out on stage and I'm waiting for bam, bam, you know, all that stuff. Or maybe even the 20th Century Fox intro. But he gets up there and he starts playing. And it gets me a second to actually like, because I was expecting that big whoosh in my face. But it wasn't that. What they actually play is the flag parade from episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And I love that track. I think it's so cool. And of course, you hear that theme, like all that stuff. All that stuff. I know, okay, keep going on, but all that. I that's a great beat and all that. It feels very uplifting and all that stuff. Reminds me of the pod race, of course. It's what it plays with in the sequence of the movie. That was great. I was like, man, that's a deep cut. I was expecting that, especially to start with it. And then he gets on the mic and he's like, hey, we're here now. We're going to be playing some Star Wars tracks throughout the entire night. We're going to be playing mostly 99% John Williams stuff with a little bit of Michael Giacchino in here. But we're going to do this chronologically in the Star Wars galaxy. You just heard us play this song from The Phantom Menace. We're going to move on to Attack of the Clones next, Revenge of the Sith. And then we're even going to include the two anthology films in between. Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and Episode 4, A New Hope. I was expecting Rogue One, but I was not expecting Solo, a Star Wars story, to be included here, which got me so excited in my seat. I was basically falling out when he said that. I'm like, man, because I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant. I knew that they were going to be playing The Adventures of Han, the stuff that the Han theme that John Williams wrote for that score. Which, of course, is manipulated brilliantly by John Powell in that score. The Solo soundtrack is so underrated. Of course, you can listen to that on Spotify and Apple, iTunes, all that stuff. But you can also listen to the expanded version, which is so, so great. I hate to say it, but the CD or the digital copy, whatever you get of the original soundtrack score that was released when the film came out, misses a couple of important key tracks, I think, that are just still caught in there at the end with this expanded soundtrack that basically covers the entire movie of whatever musical production was created for it. So then, of course, after those two, the original trilogy, and then the sequel trilogy will be represented as well. Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Episode 8, The Last Jedi, and Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So Episode 8, of course, I've never heard music from before. That's where they kind of stopped in my neck of the woods doing the symphony playing alongside to the movie at the same time, at least in terms of Star Wars stuff, and also Rise of Skywalker. I mean, that's such a fresh movie still. I mean, we're still only 3-4 years out from when it came out. And it's just still so impactful to me all these years later. So that's where we're going. So I'm going to tell you the set list right now. So, of course, they played the Flag Parade from the Phantom Menace. Then in Attack of the Clones, they played Across the Stars from Attack of the Clones, of course. Episode 3 played Battle of Heroes. Battle of the Heroes. I'm sorry, I don't know off the top of my head exactly what where the article of the goes. The Battle of Heroes, the Battle of the Heroes, etc. It's that track from Revenge of the Sith. For Solo, they played the Adventures of Han. I think that makes sense. And then for Rogue One, a Star Wars story, they played the Imperial Suite, which was also excellent. For the original trilogy, they played two songs each from those films. So for A New Hope, they played Leia's theme, and of course the main titles. I think that makes sense, right? That tracks. Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, they played the Imperial March, as well as Yoda's theme. And that was where, they concluded with the Imperial March for their intermission, and they came back for Episode 6, which was Return of the Jedi, of course. And they played Luke and Leia, and also the Forest Battle, which was also exquisite. Episode 7, The Force Awakens, got two tracks as well, which includes Rey's theme and The March of the Resistance. Episode 8, The Last Jedi, was The Rebellion is Reborn. Very great track from that movie. And of course, it concluded with The Rise of Skywalker, which has actually been the first time that this music has really been performed live for an audience. It's not available commercially yet. Like the arrangements aren't available. So they basically had to go through a couple of loops and bounds in order to get John Williams' personal approval to be able to play music live from that track, from that film. So what they did was they did a suite of music from The Rise of Skywalker. So that includes basically Anatomy of Evil, where basically when Palpatine and Ben Solo or Kylo Ren at that time are having a conversation, the speeder bike chase from Passana, the I saw another piece of music called Rey and Ben, which is what happens when Ben Solo comes back and he's able to transfer his life energy or use the Force to do so to bring back Rey after she's defeated Emperor Palpatine again. And then finally, it was The Rise of Skywalker, that great track from the soundtrack as well. So all of that concluded the main production. Of course, they're going to do an encore at the end of all this. And what do they play? A track that I wasn't expecting absolutely at all. They come out and do the Cantina sequence, from the Cantina song from episode 4, A New Hope, which was all just so exquisite and wonderful. And I got so many chills just being a part of it and seeing all this play out on stage. Just such a wonderful night for Star Wars and for celebrating this great music from across all eras of this wonderful film franchise that we all know and love. I wasn't expecting to get some of these deeper tracks, Flag Parade especially. The Rebellion is Reborn. I wasn't expecting that one. I definitely wasn't expecting the Cantina song. And I'll say this for a separate reason here, is because when I saw episode 4, A New Hope, certain instances they won't play what the track is because they may not have the instruments to do so, or maybe it's just not a part of the film score that they're able to separate from the orchestra. I don't know how it all works entirely, but when I was watching that one with the orchestra, they didn't play that track. They just let it play out with the music in the movie as is. So that's how that one went. So I wasn't expecting that one at all. That wasn't even potentially on any bingo list of like potential songs I thought that they might play. Wasn't going to happen. But sure enough, I come out for an encore. We're going to do one more for you guys. And that's what it was. And I thought, oh my gosh, well, this is great. I wasn't expecting this at all. This is totally, you know, cream of the crop stuff here. This is a great experience for any Star Wars fan. And they're having a ton of fun on stage there. We're all geeking out in our seats as fans, enjoying this great music canon that's being thrown at us. The bass players did a great in unison twirl of their basses, as you can imagine, like a jazz band from the 1930s and 40s doing so on stage. And again, that track brings John Williams back to his jazz roots, if you will, from before he started film scoring, right? Which is kind of, in a way, his real passion and bread and butter, if you will. A lot of fun having all that stuff on stage. But what were my highlights? I think for me, the track that I was most looking forward to hearing potentially, that was like, okay, if they play this one, I'll be really, really thrilled. And that was, of course, Across the Stars. The love theme from episode 2, Attack of the Clones. It is arguably, in my opinion, one of the most pivotal film score music pieces of all time. And even beyond that, I think it's just so hauntingly beautiful. Perfectly encapsulating this forbidden, traumatic love that is blossoming between Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala, which leads them on the path to all the stuff that happens in the rest of the Star Wars canon. But it is so, so beautiful at the same time. The harp was on stage as they were playing this wonderful beats. And I love that like interlude beyond the main theme, if you will, where it's I love the part where in the middle there, where it stops doing that for a second, it goes, it's very heavy, very heavy. And you know me, I'm a metal fan at heart. And I just start headbanging at that part. How could you not? Another one that I just really adored, again, hearing was Battle of the Heroes. They didn't have a chorus on stage, so no choir, none of that. So they couldn't do Duel of the Fates. So I was really wondering what they would do from episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, because that is very choir heavy. John Williams and the prequels in general are very choir heavy. That was kind of what he was doing at that time in his career. He since returned to more of his romanticized neoclassical version of doing Star Wars music, and then stuff from his later films as well. But in this 1999 to 2007 John Williams era, or even before that a little bit too, he at least is experimenting with these new aspects of his, what he can bring to the table. And they played it brilliantly without the chorus. It still worked just as well and effectively. And I was like, man, I'm fighting on Mustafar. I'm fighting in the Imperial Senate. This is all coming out in my dreams the way that I would imagine it would on the screen. Just an excellent stuff. Again, The Adventures of Han. I have a personal story with The Adventures of Han, which is why this song is just so near and dear to my heart. I love Solo, A Star Wars Story. I think you all can kind of guess that probably from me doing a Star Wars podcast. You just don't do this if you don't have an innate love for just about all of the franchise. But specifically for Solo, A Star Wars Story, that hit me at just about the right time in my life. It was a film that I was so looking forward to seeing, and I just love every aspect of that film and what it does for the Star Wars canon and just for Han itself as a character, seeing where he goes from this kind of plucky young person to being the jaded person that we see in A New Hope. Love all that. And I love that John Williams came back to write this theme for a character, again, that he does with Obi-Wan too, where he's like, man, these characters that I've been with since 1977, so over 40 plus years now, I didn't write a theme for this guy. And now he got the chance to do so in this movie. And again, John Powell does an exquisite job of doing all this. But I just have so many good feelings of seeing Solo 3 times in the theater at opening weekend. And I was so enthralled by this that I wanted to buy that soundtrack right away. And it's now available on vinyl, or at least at some point it was available on vinyl, where you could get it from Mondo, a great film recording site that you can get all kinds of different soundtracks, etc., from movies with great artwork and very good production value on all that. So I have that now, but at the time that wasn't available yet. And I think it took like till 2020, 2021 for that to even come out. So I went out to Target and bought the CD, right? You remember that, the CDs? I went out and bought it that weekend. And I said, I want to roll around in my car where I'm driving from place to place, right? I have a silver Buick Verano, which I dub, you know, it is kind of like the Millennium Falcon to me. And I put in that soundtrack, and I still to this day have it very regularly in my CD rotation in that, in my car, where I feel like I am Han driving from place to place. I feel like I'm on this adventure, this grand space opera. I'm a part of it in some way, shape, or form. And you know what? As go back to what Kira says at the end of that movie that just really gets to me every time. When she's like, I'm the only one that knows exactly who you are. And he's like, yeah, what's that? What's that? And, you know, he's trying to be that tough guy, that persona, that person that breaks down, that doesn't want his hard exterior seen through, right? I'm a hard gangster. I'm a smuggler. I do all this stuff. I'm not any of that. You're the good guy, right? I think that's what we all strive to be at the end of the day. No matter what we are, you should try to be the good guy. Do what's right because it's right, again. And I feel that every time that I listen to Solo, A Star Wars Story, that soundtrack, I watched the movie. As soon as they started playing that theme, I was like, Joe, we need to go home. We need to go watch Solo, A Star Wars Story. This is important. We need to do this absolutely right now. Little do we know, you know, we're not even close to being done with this concert yet. But man, it just was great. And again, I'm going to skip ahead because I think you can all guess. I love, you know, Yoda's theme, Sounds of Enlightenment in Star Wars, right? Thank you, Ken Knapsack, for coining that phrase. Leia's theme got me emotional, of course, for all, you know, the greatness of Leia's character and just Carrie Fisher and what she's done for the Star Wars universe and for fandom over the years. The Imperial March, they changed light in the concert hall from the blue and green colors to red, of course, symbolizing Darth Vader's theme. All great stuff. The fun of the forest battle, feeling like you're on Endor, being an Ewok, defeating the evil Empire without the crazy weapons and blasters and all that defines the Empire. But finding this weak spot that they weren't expecting and defeating them at the same time while also having this joyous fun at the same time. I mean, it's a great mix in the forest battle there. For me, I enjoyed so much hearing the stuff from The Rise of Skywalker because I love that movie. This is not a podcast for hatred towards The Rise of Skywalker. We're not sequel trilogy haters here. This is a place where we celebrate those films and enjoy them for what they are. And I absolutely love what they are. And to hear that for the first time playing on stage was just magnificent. A premiere that John Williams had to approve. I mean, I love that speeder bike sequence. I knew exactly what it was going to be when they said it. Like, that's so quintessential Star Wars to me. And of course, Rise of Skywalker, great way to conclude this ending here, right? I'm Rey Skywalker, right? It just concludes this journey from episode 1 through episode 9, the Skywalker saga, which this concert literally put on stage for us. And again, I love that this conductor did it that way. He didn't have to, but he chose to do chronologically, saying, like, in a way, these films matter and they rock. And he's kind of giving credence to a certain order to how to watch them too, which I also appreciate. You know, I'm a big fan of the chronological watch order of this. You start with episode 1 or, you know, whatever comes out next. If it's the Dawn of the Jedi or et cetera, the Acolyte, start with that and then make your way through all the Star Wars canon. But those are big hits. Again, a cantina sequence. I was not expecting to hear that at all. So just great icing on top, or cherry on top of the icing of a great cake that is Star Wars music. So a wonderful night of celebrating Star Wars music. If you ever get the chance to experience this with either your local orchestra, regional orchestra, national orchestra, etc., if someone comes to your neck of the woods that is saying, hey, we're going to play Star Wars music, I encourage you so much to go out and to experience that yourself. Support the artistry, the live music scene. These are all things that are very impactful and powerful to all of us as humans. And of course, the music of John Williams will continue on for all time. His influence is currently still being felt by all the people with, you know, in the Star Wars universe, you know, Kevin Kiner, Michael Giacchino, John Powell, Ludwig Göransson, right? Like, these themes aren't ending, they're continuing, but we're also adding to a great expansive soundtrack base that is Star Wars, which is so cool and inviting. So again, see all that stuff, go see a movie with the live orchestra, etc. These are just wonderful ways for us to engage with the arts and to grow as fans and to get these cool experiences that we wouldn't get otherwise. But with that, folks, that's all that I had for this week's episode. Of course, we'll be back next week with Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Of course, we'll be talking through that a little bit here. And as we go through all of July, we'll be covering that movie in a bit more extensive ways as I see it multiple times amidst my schedule here. So be on the lookout for that. Be sure to go get your tickets now if you haven't yet, so you don't miss out on all that. Of course, let's continue the conversation. Let's talk about music and Star Wars. Let's have a great time with it. I know Joe and I did. We had a blast. So I hope that maybe you were there. Maybe you're going to see Star Wars with a live music, or, you know, live film to orchestra to movie, whatever they call it technically. Go see it. You won't regret it. And let's have some more conversations about all this on our social media channels, of course, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Hive. And again, follow us on all, you know, if you're subscribed, tell your friends about us, of course, leave us a rating and review. It really helps to grow the show and expand so we can reach different audiences. You know the drill by this point. Again, if you want to continue supporting the show through other means as well, we have a TeePublic store, which I know they're running sales throughout the summer all the time on that, so you can get some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And finally, we have a Patreon site where you can sign up for a various tiers offered, and you can get some more Force Ghost Conversations goodies in your life. So with that, folks, that is all that I had for this week. May the Force be with you. Take care.